We're going to stay in one single passage, so you don't have to move around. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. A line out of verse 17 and the last couple of lines of verse 18. If you look in the middle of verse 17, it says, those who believe, and then you jump down to the last part of verse 18, they, that's referring to those who believe, they will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. Those who believe will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. Thus saith the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to speak to you today under the title, Get Your Hands Out of Your Pockets. Okay? Now, I recognize that there are going to be a lot of projections up on the screen today, a lot of scriptures. I don't expect you to write that all down. You know you can go online, and you can come to church on Sunday morning with all of the projections, and I'd recommend that if you don't write this all down, because you could never write it all down, that you'd go home and you'd look it up online. Loving Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to teach your people today, and I ask one thing, that as I teach your word today, faith would rise in this people. Faith to believe that Jesus Christ is the healer of physical ailments. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I remember with unusual clarity the last time I brought this teaching. It was January 2107. It was a healing Sunday, and I felt led of the Lord to teach on the subject of the laying on of hands. And, you know, we often come into Sunday morning, pastors included, with a prescribed idea of what we think is going to happen. And I kind of knew what was going to happen that day. That day I was going to preach on the laying on of hands. Following the service, we'd have the eldership come up. The sick would come forward. They would lay hands on them and pray for them. And some of those who come forward would get healed that day. We'd all go home and everything would be fine. All of that happened, but a lot more happened. At the close of the service, the Lord directed me to have laity in the congregation come up and stand with the eldership, and totally unplanned, the Lord directed me during the teaching to have those who were involved in the medical field with their life to come up and be anointed for touching the sick. I had never heard of that before. I had never seen that before. And I certainly had not planned that. But the Holy Spirit gave that to me at the close of that message. And I will never, ever forget that Sunday. The area where now we have the band, this whole area was filled with people. I don't know what I was expecting. Well, I wasn't expecting because the Lord didn't tell it to me until during the message. But when I made the appeal, I thought I'd have 6 or 8 people come up. This whole area was filled, both services, with people who are involved in the medical profession, one way or another. And as Donna and I began to pray over each of those people, doctors, dentists, nurses, technicians, receptionists, anything like that, the Holy Spirit just came upon us, and people down here were getting prayed for, people up here were getting prayed for, and we went to my office after the service, and I said to Donna, I said, there was an unusual anointing in the church house this morning in a really strong and heavy way. And then I said to her, this to her as we were driving out of the driveway, I said, you know, that's a foundational message for healing that should be preached on a regular basis. It's been 6 years since. How regular is this? Okay, 6 years since. Now, please understand, I am not trying today to duplicate that service. You see, that's where healing ministries get off base. Our first of four truths today, repetition without revelation is unprofitable. But repetition with revelation is always profitable. I'm reminded of the words of our Lord in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6. He said, "And when you pray, do not keep on babbling." The King James Version uses the word vain repetitions. Don't pray in vain repetitions. Like the pagans. For they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Look at two words. The word babbling, or in the King James Version, vain repetitions, is badalogio. Compound Greek word. Bados, to stutter. Logos, word. To stutter words. Many words is the Greek word polylogio. It means a torrent of mechanical and mindless words. Now, I'm going to say what I'm going to say because I am a Pentecostal, a practicing Pentecostal, and I pastor a Pentecostal church, a practicing Pentecostal church. No one, I don't think, fulfills this scripture more often than Pentecostals. Yeah, that's not a place to say amen. That's a place to say ouch. Let's all say ouch.
Ouch.
Yeah, yeah. Because we can take something that would require 2 minutes of prayer and pray 10 minutes plus. And we can just embellish it and go on and on and on and on. As if somehow our many words are going to impress the Lord. And you'll say, "Okay, I'll heal you. Stop talking, please." Now, I understand there's the place where we are to wait on the Lord, and I fully get that. But too many of us, when we go to prayer, have a torrent of mechanical and mindless words. Look at the message. The message says the world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. They're full of formulas, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. This is your Father you are dealing with, and He knows better than you what you need. Now, I know someone's going to say, "Well, Pastor, isn't this laying on of hands stuff kind of like that? Isn't this laying on of hands stuff really a formula?" No, I don't see it that way. I don't see it that way. Second truth of today. The doctrine of laying on of hands is not a formula. It is a biblically prescribed activity. And it is at this point that our word of faith friends, along with our positive confession folks, get off base. God does not operate like a remote control where we push the buttons and He is obligated to respond the way we want Him to respond. This is a remote control. I push a button and it goes backwards, or it goes forwards. It goes the way I'm telling it to go. God does not operate like that. I know someone would then ask, "Well, Pastor, where is the line between a man-made formula and a God-given activity?" That is a very, very good question. Let me help you out. Usually formulas bring condemnation. I don't have to say anymore. Usually formulas bring condemnation. "Well, they told me, or I thought, if I did this, 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 then God was bound to do that. Well, God didn't answer the way I thought He was going to answer, so, man, I just don't understand this." And you get heaped of condemnation. On the other hand, God-given activities bring an assurance that God is pleased with what you've done. And I have found, when I do things that line up with Scripture, I am at peace with the fact that I did what God told me to do. That's it. And I don't wrestle with, "Well, whether I got the answer or I didn't get the answer." I did what God told me to do. On the other hand, when I get involved, and you say, "You, Pastor?" Yeah, all of us. When we get involved in our man-made formulas, you get zero peace. And on top of that, you get frustrated if you don't get the answer you were expecting. Yeah. I know very clearly the Lord gave that to me the other day. There is the difference between a man-made formula and a God-given activity. So for the rest of this morning, I want us to consider the God-given activity of the laying on of hands. The Gospel of Mark was written in about 60 AD, in the 60s, during a very terrible time of social upheaval in Palestine for the early Christians. And one of the reasons for this gospel was to commission Christ's followers for the mission they would have in the world. Start at verse 15 and let's read to the end of the chapter. This is the end of get ready for this commission. He said to them, Jesus, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, and whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. And after the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied him. I really like the way the Message says the last verse. It says, and the disciples went everywhere preaching. The master was working right with them, validating the message with indisputable evidence. When was the last time God validated your faith with indisputable evidence? It happened to us in the last month or so. We were visiting our son Ben in Illinois, and Ben is able to get his teeth repaired where he's at, and yet at a very economical price, and his teeth have just all rotted out, half of them. And so he was talking to us about that and his frustration because he's on the list to get his teeth fixed, but yet nothing is happening. And the reason is because other people come in who are in worse condition and they go to the top of the list and he goes to the bottom of the list. And so before we were ready to leave, Donna looked at him and said, well, let's pray, Ben, that you get moved to the top of the list. And we bowed our heads and we prayed. Okay? That was on a Friday afternoon. Ben calls us on Monday night. He says, you'll never guess what. I was called out of class this morning, and they called me over behind the big wall, and they looked at me and said, you've been moved up to the top of the list. We're ready to fix your teeth. Validating your faith with indisputable evidence. Every time he talks on the phone, he's asking his mama to pray for things, okay? You get it? You get it? You get it? Yeah. Well, I think it's worth noting that the last thing Jesus says is this: those who believe in my name, this is what they will do. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. I would like to look at five things Jesus says. And as this message is coming forth and you're listening to these five things, would you just let your faith rise? Whatever level is in your faith tank right now, I think the Lord wants to fill it up. I think he wants it to really rise. Okay, the first thing, those who believe. Would you say that with me? Those who believe. What immediately grabs my attention is what Jesus didn't say. Jesus didn't say, my inner circle will go out and heal people. That would be the guy, Mount of Transfiguration boys, you know, Peter, James, and John. He didn't say, the 11 guys who've been with me for the last 3 years and really know how this all works. He didn't say, the 72 that I sent out in Luke chapter 10. He didn't say, the 500 that saw him resurrected in 1 Corinthians 15. He said, those who believe. That tells me something. That tells me that this is not for just a select few. This is not just for pastors or elders or deacons or evangelists or missionaries. It says those who believe. Let's take a poll. How many of you believe this morning? Raise your right hand up real high. Okay, put your hands down. I'll ask you a question. When was the last time? Anybody who raised their hand, when was the last time you laid hands on someone who was sick and prayed for them? When was the last time? Somebody's saying, I can't remember when the last time was. Why is that? Why is that? That's a part of your commission. Now, I'm going to say something with all humility. I don't say this in arrogance, but with all humility, I give you this third truth. Every believer should have a healing ministry. Every believer should have a healing ministry. Not just the church leadership or a few set aside special people who have the gift of healing. Every believer should have a healing ministry. Turn to the person on your right and your left, look them right in the eye and say, you should have a healing ministry. That's true. The second thing, in my name. Would you say that? In my name. The word name, onomos, means the full authority that exists in the person being named. The full authority upon the person being named. Let me illustrate it this way. Let's say on a Thursday or a Wednesday, I came into the auditorium. The place was dark and there was really nobody in here. And let's say Julie was up here playing on the piano. Do you play the piano?
No.
You don't. Well, that's what it sounded like when I came in. It sounded like, you don't play the piano. But you're just up there pounding away on the piano. You're playing some chopsticks and some other stuff. And I kind of stand back there for a second and I say, now, I know the regulations around here. I know the issues around here. And I don't think that's a good thing. So how do I approach that? So I come up here and say, and she stops pounding on the piano because it does really sound bad. Yeah. And I say, hi, Julie. How are you? She says, I'm fine, Pastor. And I said, Julie, you know, I don't know why you're playing on the piano. You sound really beautiful, Julie. I mean, you sound like Mozart, but, and she would know I'm lying through my teeth right there, okay? But I would say, Julie, you know, I know that these instruments are off limits up here and that we have some other instruments in the church that you could play on, but not these. And she would come back and say to me, but Pastor Leon told me I could practice the piano here. And I would say, Pastor Leon told you that?
He sure did.
He sure did. That's what she just said. He sure did. And you know what? I would back away and I would walk out the door and continue to let her pound on the piano. Why? Because she told me that the one who has authority over those instruments told her she could play them. Now, based on what I'm hearing, I don't think it's in the piano's best interest that Julie's playing it. But I don't have the authority. And she used the name, Leon. There is tremendous authority in that name in this church, let me tell you. You see? Proves my point, okay? It says two things about Jesus in Matthew 7. It says he taught as one having authority. And that really amazed everybody because teachers in that day didn't teach like one having authority. It says in Matthew 28 that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus. So hear me on this. When we pray in Jesus' name, we actually stand in the physical place of Jesus who is in heaven, acting on his behalf and operating in the authority that he has vested in us. And when we do this, we exercise his ability, his authority, his power. Always remember, any healing that gets accomplished only happens because of his ability, his authority, his power, not ours. We're only his representatives invoking his healing power into people's lives. Third thing, they will place their hands. Would you say that with me? They will place their hands. Let me give they will place their hands some definition. I want to start out by saying, here's my definition of this. The laying on of hands is an action in which one person of faith places his hands upon another person with the purpose of imparting or transmitting something to that person. Jesus often did this to impart or transmit the healing power of God. Let me show you this in a number of scriptures. It follows right through the Gospel of Mark. Mark 5. My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. Mark 6. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. Mark 7. There are some people who brought a man to him who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged him to place his hand on the man. Mark 8, he took the blind man by the hand, led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" Then one out of Luke chapter 4. When the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sicknesses, and laying his hands on each of them, he healed them. All I'm telling you is that Jesus did this on a regular basis. He laid his hands on people to impart or transmit to them the healing power of the Heavenly Father. Now, I know someone's sitting and saying, okay, that's Jesus. I'm not Jesus. Did believers in the New Testament do this? Well, let's see. Acts 19:11, the King James Version says, "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul." Acts 28:8-9. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went to see him, and after he prayed, he placed his hands on the man and healed him. Now, I want to give you some counsel concerning this. And again, I do this because I see this often abused in our Pentecostal style of worship. The laying on of hands is not a magical or a superstitious rite. Some Pentecostals practice the laying on of hands in such indiscriminate fashion that it is nothing more than repetitious ritual to them. Walking around, laying hands on anybody and everybody for any and every reason. And I shout, wrong. I shout, wrong, wrong, wrong. The laying on of hands must be ministered with great humility, not arrogance. Recognizing he, Jesus, is the one who does the real work. We simply are called instruments that will impart or transmit healing ability. Anytime you come across a believer, inside or outside of this church, who is arrogant about, "Well, just come here and let me lay my hands on you," well, it would be impolite to run the other direction. So let them do it. But understand, God's probably not in it. There's way too much self in that. "I got the gift of healing. Just come here and lay my hands on you." And then they smack you in the forehead. And you're standing there doing everything you can do to keep up and not be slain in the spirit. It has nothing to do with being slain in the spirit. They just put you down for the count of 10 on the floor. Come on. It should be done in a real sense of humility that says, "He said I could lay my hands on a believer, pray a prayer of faith, and that would somehow, I don't understand it, but that would somehow impart and transmit the Heavenly Father's healing power into your life. I don't get it, but it's what he asked me to do." And in almost reservation and humility, I do it. Fourth, they will do this on sick people. Would you say that with me? On sick people. Very interesting word study that will help us out a great deal. Arostos is the word for sick here. It comes from another Greek word, arunamai, which comes from another Greek word, runamai. Runamai means someone who is in good health, who is strong, and who is well. But I've taught you before, in the Greek language, whenever you put a in front of the word, it means just the antithesis, just the opposite. 180 degrees the opposite. So, when you find the word arostos with the a in front of it, it really means on people that have bad health and who are weak and who are not well. Let me give you a couple of scriptures. You have them up there where this word, arostos, is used. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and he healed their people who were in bad health and weak and not well. He could not do many miracles there except lay his hands on a few people that were in bad health and weak and not well. And in that process, he healed them. These passages are examples of people who were not simply feeling poorly because some bug had bitten them. These are people who were in bad health, weak, not well. I took it off of the projection because I don't want it to go the wrong direction, but it really means people who were in an invalid state. Now, let me take you back to a passage I've already referenced that I think will really help us out a great deal here, defining sick people. The people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sicknesses. Now, look at these different translations because they all say it a little differently. King James Version, diverse diseases, Amplified, various diseases, Message, anyone sick with an ailment, and the New Living Translation, no matter what their diseases were. Now, can I go back up and work from the King James Version? Because Tim Keppel thinks that's the one that Paul wrote in, okay, right there. Diverse diseases. Diverse. Astheno. Again, the A in front of it would mean a wide range of infirmities. Not just one kind of sickness, but a wide range of sickness. But the word for diseases is gnosis. We understand that. And gnosis means a terrible malady of the most severe nature, i.e., someone who is terminally ill. My point is, friends, there is healing through Jesus' name for everything from the tickle of the throat to the catastrophe of cancer. Nancy, would you come up here, please? Is there somebody here that's just not feeling well today? You got a cold or a cough or a sore throat, flu-like symptoms. I know you don't want to admit it, but the place is full of people like that. So somebody raise your hand. Who's like that? Who's like that? Nobody? Yeah, come up here, please. Come up here, please. Quickly. The people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sicknesses. Diverse diseases, a wide range of infirmities. Okay, we got a wide range of infirmities here. We have someone who just doesn't feel well. Sore throat?
Sore throat, yes.
Sore throat, he said, sore throat. Let's move a little farther this way as we talk to him. We still love you, and we'll pray for you. Do we have an extension for arms that we can lay hands on that way? Oh, come on back here. Man, the church we were in last weekend, we left church, and Donna said, I think everybody was sick in that church. I mean, everyone was hawking and coughing and blah, 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 blah. So we just bled the blood over ourselves and hugged people and loved people and washed our hands really, really well when we left church, and we're fine, okay? So sore throat.
Yes.
How long has it been brewing?
3 days.
3 days, yuck. I feel horrible. Drainage?
Not too bad.
Not too bad. That's what causes my sore throat. Why?
I just have a little bit of the...
Yeah, you do. You got more than a little bit. You got a lot of congestion right there. Okay? A week ago Friday, this dear lady was diagnosed with lung cancer. And I just want the both of you to know, you know, your little bug's gonna go away. Jesus is gonna touch that. It's gonna go away. I want you to know that Jesus can equally touch your terminally ill diagnosis. That's what I want you to know. That's what I want you to know. And when the Lord gave that to me, he gave it to me to put this truth up, and I'm telling you, he gave me this truth when I was preaching last Sunday morning in another church, and I looked at Donna in the middle of my message, and I said, that's for Nancy. Turn around and look at it. Any gnosis, that is disease, is subject to the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Any gnosis, it can be something that is here for a little bit and goes, or it can be something that if God doesn't touch her, who knows how much longer she'll be with us. And the Bible says we can lay hands on those and they will be made whole. Stretch your hands towards these. Lord, I pray for George today that he would be made whole. And that the congestion in his chest would go, and that all of the issues in his throat would be calmed and healed in the name of Jesus. And I pray for my sister Nancy. I lay my hands on her chest in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I curse the cancer that is there, and I say, Jesus, be her healer and heal her. Because Jesus, you heal everything from something that is little to something that is life-threatening. Let's give a clap and a shout unto the Lord. Yes, you guys. Yes, you guys. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Last thing Jesus said, they will get well. Will you say that with me? They will get well. The King James Version says recover. The Message says make them well. The New Living Translation says heal them. The Greek word there for get well is kalos. It means they will be in good shape, they will be healthy, and they will be well. But listen closely to what I'm about to tell you. I found most interesting in my study was the fact that the tense used here doesn't picture something instantaneous. So I'm going to give you a literal translation of they will get well. A literal translation of this would be they shall progressively feel themselves getting better and better until finally they are well and healthy. I am telling you, rare have I had study where the light of the Lord didn't come on in such a profound way, and that was the day that I studied this. It is saying that not all healings occur instantly. And in fact, some healings are designed by God to take place over a period of time. So here's what I really think this verse is saying. When we release our faith to God and transmit that faith toward a sick person, healing virtue is deposited into that sick person's body. And just as medicine slowly begins to reverse the condition, so the power of God begins to attack the work of the enemy. And that same power that raised Jesus from the dead progressively brings that sick person back to a state of health and wholeness. We have physicians in the church house this morning. when you prescribe something, a doctor, you don't expect that the first pill they take, they're just going to, bingo, and everything's going to be better. You're giving them something that you believe over a period of time is going to reverse what is happening. That isn't anything different than this word, kalos. I really like what Dutch Sheets says. Some healings are like a microwave, others are like being marinated. You want to know something? That's profound theology. That is profound theology. When we experience any illness or infirmity, we need to say, God, you can microwave me or you can marinate me. I don't care, but I need one or the other, God. Who are we to tell God it has to be done in the microwave? You see, some of you will get prayed for at the close of this service, and you'll go out and get in your car, and you'll still have the symptoms, and you'll say, well, crumb, nothing happened there. Boy, we really had a lot of faith, didn't we? Our faith was really strong this morning. You can microwave me, or you can marinate me, but I'm taking my situation, and I'm putting it before you, Lord. And I'm looking to you to be my healer. Jesus promised, get this, that any believer can do this. Any believer can lay their hands on sick people and see that sick person get better and better until they're finally restored back to health. There are three requirements. So I want you this morning to ask yourself if you fulfill these requirements. The first one is you simply have to have a desire for God to heal through you. Do you have a desire for God to heal through you? If you don't, then stay away from this arena. In a moment, I'm going to ask some believers to join our elders. Only if you have a desire, not because you hope Jesus would heal somebody and you'd like to be in the scene when it happens. No. Do you have a desire for God to heal through you? I didn't say that you could heal anybody. Do you have a desire that God's healing power could be transmitted, imparted through you, little old you? That's the first criteria. The second one, allow your faith to be released, activating the power of God. You just say, I believe in you, God, and I believe that you can do this, and I believe it would be your will to do this. And you just let your faith be released in the fact that God has the power to do this. You don't have to debate when you're praying over people whether it's going to happen or not. That's what kept me from preaching on healing for the first 21 years I pastored this church. Because I put way too much weight on my shoulders as to whether it was going to happen or not. It's not the issue. Again, are we working with a formula that we have made up? Or are we working with a biblical activity? This is what you do in faith. I heard T.D. Jakes early this morning talk about blind faith. Dude, that message was good. That message was so good. He said there is always an element in faith that is blind. And until you're willing to walk in blind faith, you won't even walk in faith. I'm just sitting there at my kitchen counter and I'm just saying, oh God, did I need to hear this morning for the close of our service? Blind faith. I'm going to get those CDs and I'm going to preach that here. That's plagiarism, Pastor. It is not. It's preaching the Word of God. God doesn't say, if you say anything out of my book, that's plagiarism. If that's the case, folks, everything I say is plagiarized. Because it's this. I'm giving you this. because I really don't have anything to give you. But this has life for you. This has wholeness for you. Third, you have to have a desire to have the transmit the healing power of God by laying hands on the sick people. So, it basically works this way. When you have sick people come across the path of your life, you and I have an alternative. Now, take Nancy for instance. Dude, that's heavy. That's just stinking heavy. Don and I have thought about Nancy, prayed for Nancy almost daily since we got this news. We can look at Nancy and we can say, well, I sure pray that Nancy is healed and that would be a wonderful thing. Lord, if it be your will, Lord, if you really... Or you can take your hands out of your pockets, unfold them from your arms, and lay hands on the sick and pray for them. Now, I'll talk to our medical people for a minute. In just a moment, we're going to have prayer for the sick here, and we're going to have prayer for our medical people up on the platform. I'm going to have a little bit of fun with you medical people, but I want you to listen to me. And I want you to know that everything I'm about to say, I say out of the spirit of I respect and admire your profession. I have a son who feels God has called him to work in the medical profession. And I have watched this calling develop. And in my opinion, he has as much a call on his life to work in the arena of medicine as I do in the arena of shepherding people. Because he feels that's God's call upon his life. Some of you have some really, really negative attitudes towards medical professional people, and you need to repent of that. Because the medical professional people that I have come across are good people who really want to help other people. And they've given their life to that. And we're sarcastic when we have to wait 15 minutes in their office or whatever, whatever, whatever. But there is something that really buggeth me. In the King James Version, I think it says it that way. There is something that really buggeth me about medical people. And that is, after they meet you in your room, treatment room, technician room or whatever, or a hospital room, and then they leave you, they always walk out and they always say two words. Think about it. You'll bring them up because you've heard it every time. Good luck, sir. Good luck. I prophesy. In the next 3 days, between the two of us, we are going to be told good luck at least a dozen times. Already have, she said. The doctor's going to tell us good luck. The anesthesiologist is going to tell us good luck. The nurses are going to tell us good luck. The therapists are going to tell us good luck. Good luck, good luck, good luck, good luck. I've become convinced that in medical school, they have a whole semester class. I'm looking at a doctor who's up there going like this. Yeah. And they have a whole class, and it's towards the end of their profession. And it says, after you do what you do, and you want to get out of a conversation, the way you end it is, say, good luck. And it takes them a whole semester to learn those two words, good luck. I'm having fun. Because I put it in the context that I respect you. But it would seem to me a much better response would be blessed. Well, Pastor, I can't put my faith in the. Put your faith in saying be blessed. Or blessings on you instead of good luck. Good luck on your knee. How? Yes? Be blessed. Yes, I understand. Be blessed. So when we hear that over the next 3-4 days, every time the person walks out of the office, out of the room, Don and I will look at each other and we'll translate that too. We're going to be blessed. We're going to be blessed. Because I know she doesn't need luck tomorrow. She needs the blessing of the Lord in her life tomorrow. See? You could take it farther than that. If you're really gutsy medical professional people, you could say, I'll be praying for you. Now, you're not putting your Christianity on them. You're not heaping your whole... You're saying, I'll be praying for you. I find even people who are unbelievers, almost the majority of them say, I'll take your prayers anytime. You say, well, I'm not going to say that because that would be hypocritical because I'm not going to pray for them. Really? You mean to tell me that walking out of the office of a patient, out of the room with a patient, you couldn't, as you open that door and walk out, under your breath, say, God, heal Kathy, and then move on. Under your breath, say that. You would have been praying for them. See how easy that is? It is so easy for us. Receptionists to shake someone's hand. Receptionists to touch someone's shoulder. It's so easy to touch and then in your spirit say, be healed in the name of Jesus. And that would release the healing power of God like a torrent in your lives and other lives. Oh, I don't have time to read that scripture. Elders, would you come forward real quick and stand right over here in front? And here's what I'm going to ask. As soon as the elders get in place, praise God, praise God, praise God. Now, folks, we still got 15 minutes before we normally close the service. And no, pastor's not letting you out 15 minutes early. So it's designed so that we could have a time of worship and we could soak in the Lord's presence. And Pastor Leanne and Travis have prepared some really wonderful healing worship choruses that they're going to lead us in as we pray for the sick. Now we've got all the elders up here. Okay. Elders, would you move down that direction so we have a line all the way across and maybe that way a little bit. Spread yourself out between you and the next person. So we have individuals ready to minister. That'll work. Now, when the people come forward for healing this morning, I'm going to ask all of you who work in the medical arena, if you would like to be anointed so that your touch would include the healing touch of Jesus, I'm going to ask you to come up here on the platform. I've moved this back and we'll just work this area here. And you come and just form a line here, and Miss Donna and I would count it a privilege to anoint you with oil and pray that your touch would be the healing touch of Jesus. People that are technicians, people that are doctors, people that are physician's assistants, people that are nurses, people that draw blood, people that are receptionists. Every day, people that are in the administration of a hospital, which my son is involved in. Every day, my son has the opportunity to touch the sick. And Jesus said, those who believe would lay their hands on the sick, and they would get well. Everything from a cold or a cough to cancer. Those of you who want prayer. Oh, let's do this. I'd like to have one believer with every elder. If you're here today and you'd say, I'm a believer and I believe in this, I want you to come right now. I need one with every elder should have one believer standing with them. That's good. I think we have enough. I think we have enough. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Now, you that are standing beside the elder, it would be appropriate that you would let the elder lead the prayer. But as the Lord leads you, you get right in there and you lay hands on them and you pray right along with the elder. And then if the Lord encourages you to lead out in prayer after the elder has led or whatever, you do that. You be obedient. Because I've shown you today, those who believe will lay their hands on the sick. I'm telling you, right before us, right here, not because these are special people, but because these people believe the word of God, healing power will flow in this place. And we'll make room on both sides, or just press through the prayer groups, you who are in the medical profession, and come up here and allow Donna and I. We'll close the service in about 10 minutes, 10 or 13 minutes, and let's just be in the Lord's presence. You don't have to come up to be prayed for. Just enter into the presence of the Lord. Or stretch your hands towards this altar area and pray for people. Let us stand. The altars are now open. Leon.
Healing rain is falling down. Healing rain is falling down.
Just come up here.
Healing rain is falling down. Healing rain is falling down. Healing rain is falling down. There's healing in your glory. There's healing in your glory. Lord, send your glory. There's healing in your glory. I know there's healing in your glory. There is healing in your glory. There's healing in your glory. Send your glory, Lord. There's power, power in your glory. Sing. There's power in your glory. There's power in your glory. There is. There's favor in your glory, Lord. Sing, there's favor in your glory. I've got favor. There's favor in your glory. There is favor in your glory.
account in Acts chapter 28, and it's just as though it was, it's as though it, it's something that could have happened any and every day. There was this ship that got wrecked, and then they were on the island of Malta, and all the people were gathered around them, and they took all these people that got off the shipwreck, and Paul was one of them, and took care of them. And then it says this. It's almost like it's just in a storyline. It's like in everyday living. I think that's what I want to say. It's like in everyday living. The headman in that part of the island was Publius. He took us into his home as his guests, drying us out and putting us up in fine style for the next 3 days. Publius's father was sick at that time, down with a high fever and dysentery. Okay, Paul was brought into a home where a man was sick. And he could have just said, well, putting us up in fine style for 3 days. He could have said, good luck. Paul went to the old man's room. And when he laid his hands on him and prayed, the man was healed. Listen to this next line. And the word of the healing got around fast. See, that's the way it happens. The word of the healing got around fast, and soon everyone on the island who was sick was coming to be prayed for. Let it be forever proclaimed, this is a church that prays for the sick. This is a church that prays for the sick. This is a church that preaches healing. You know, I got a little upset with God. Why do you want me to preach on healing the Sunday I have to tell the congregation Donna's going to go have surgery tomorrow morning? God said, loosen your shorts, Joel. No, he didn't say that. He said, you just proclaim my word and I'll take care of the rest. You just proclaim my word and I'll take care of the rest. I do pray for all of you that when you go to work tomorrow, or the shift tonight, or the shift 2 days from now, that when you drive in the parking lot, you park your car and you get out of your car, you acknowledge the fact that you are in the place where God has planted you to touch lives that need the healing power of Jesus. And then you just go about your day, and whether you touch someone on the shoulder, touch their elbow, you walk out of a room and you touch their toe on the way out, but behind that, you say in your spirit, man, be made whole in the name of Jesus. And God is going to make your livelihood an awesome thing. Let's show our appreciation to all these who serve in us. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you and use you in the name of Jesus. You all have a good day. God bless you.